It's good this morning to have Mark Lunn with us. Mark is the Northern Maine Director for Child Evangelism Fellowship. He ended up stepping into the shoes of a young man named Alex Burgoyne when Alex became the state director there a couple years ago, almost now, that they've been serving in those capacities. And it's been good to get to know Mark a little bit. I've heard a lot about him over the years. We've kind of, I don't know, I've gone places he's spoken at or been at and those. And he served as a pastor for about 29 years here in this area of Northern Maine. And so it's good to finally get to know him a little better. In the last year, we've met several times. He's been at our Good News Clubs. And if you aren't aware of that, we have a Good News Club that it's off for the season now, but we have a Good News Club that runs throughout the school year, and we meet at the school, and we have both our church and Valley Bible Chapel that is involved in that as far as heading it up, and a number of kids that come, some from our churches, some not from the churches, and it's a tremendous outreach, and we praise the Lord that we were able to have that ministry. But it all requires some oversight, and that's somewhat what Mark does. So Mark, come this morning and share what's on your heart.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate the invitation to be able to come and share with you. Just as Jack mentioned, maybe he's heard a little bit about me, and I've heard a little bit about him when he was at, especially when he was at NBBI. But I've heard about this church for a very, very, very long time. I've known about the church, and I've known a lot of people from the church through the years. And so to be able to come, but I had never visited. Me being tied up on Sunday is kind of hard to visit as a pastor other churches. And so coming into this ministry has allowed me to visit other churches that I've heard about, maybe know the pastor. And what a joy that has been to be able just to travel around and meet God's people in all these different locations. So it's a great privilege for me to be here this morning. I want to thank you for that opportunity. Many people ask me if I'm really married or not. If you're on Facebook, you know I am, because my wife is one of those Facebook people. But she has her kind of her own ministry, if I can say it that way, on the weekend and specifically on Sunday. And so it's very difficult for her to travel with me, especially a great distance, on Sundays. And so someday, hopefully you'll meet her. If you came to the banquet, maybe you at least saw her if you did not meet her there. So yes, I am married, but we have a picture here in a moment. Child Evangelism Fellowship. I want to ask a question, if you have an answer for it, just give it out, okay? How many of you know something more about CEF other than the Good News Club? What can you tell me one thing that you know about CEF other than the Good News Club? Okay? All right, two countries where it's not allowed. Truth Chasers was a by-mail discipleship program that they ran. But they have discontinued that now, unfortunately. Yes, it just became a little bit too much. CYIA, and do you know what that stands for? Christian Youth in Action. I actually don't have a slide in my presentation about that, and I kind of regret that a little bit, so I will mention that in a moment. Anything else that you know about CEF? Wilderness Day Camp. How many of you are involved in the Wilderness Day Camp in one way or another? You cook, you show up, whatever. A lot of you. Great. I saw a couple more hands of things. Chris.
Great banquet.
Oh, a great banquet. It is a very good banquet, except for the jokes. So, anyone? Another one? Oh, Roger and Donna. What a wonderful couple they are. I love Roger and Donna. Any more? All right. Well, CEF, this year marks the 80th anniversary of Child Evangelism Fellowship Incorporated. It was incorporated 80 years ago. It was founded in that year by J. Irwin Overholtzer, who had grown up in a denomination, if you will, where children were thought not to be able to know Jesus and understand until they reached a certain age, 12, 15, whatever, 18. And he began to question that particular doctrine, that particular policy, if you will, whatever it was. And pretty soon he began to put that to the test, and he would share clearly the gospel with children to see if they could believe, and then would observe. If they made a profession of faith, he would observe their life to see whether there was a change. And he discovered that children can understand and can receive Christ, and it's not something that you have to wait for. And so he began scouring the country as well for other pastors who were like-minded in this way, other businessmen who could help form a board which would oversee a ministry that would, first of all, be national, but very soon became international. And, two countries that are closed. There's actually more countries that are, quote-unquote, closed than just two, where the gospel Christian witness is not welcome. You can't get a visa to go into that country as a Christian witness. You have to make your way into the country some other way and do it kind of underneath the radar. However, the goal of Child Evangelism Fellowship that was set maybe 12, 15 years ago was to have a presence in every country of the world. And now CEF is very near to that. I believe that there is only one country left for CEF to be able to have a presence in. What we mean is that there is a committee, a board that is overseeing a ministry which is being carried on by either paid or unpaid volunteers in that country. And a lot of times it has to be unpaid. These are people who have come in contact with CEF outside of their country and then have gone back into their country and have conduct good news clubs or have meetings with children. Maybe it's not overtly a good news club like we would do here, but that's the same thing is happening. What a wonderful thing. So CEF has been around a long time. It probably is, I've never seen a statistic that makes it this way, but it probably is the largest missionary organization in that it is in almost every country of the world. I don't know if there's any other single missionary organization that can make that kind of claim. And then also, for sure, it is the largest and most widespread children's missionary organization. And so it's not just here in Madawaska, or here in northern Maine, or here in the state of Maine, or in the United States. It is all over the world. As a matter of fact, one of the phrases that they use now, just to kind of show their theme, every child, every nation, every day. We're going to see a video a little bit later that's kind of give you the statistics from this last year. Now, before I go any further, for all of those who are here, and there's maybe a little fewer than I thought might be, and so I might widen it, but specifically, teenagers on down, if you pay real close attention to some of the, especially statistics that get shown up here on the PowerPoint presentation this morning. At the end, I want to have a little quiz, and if you can give an answer, I've got some things I want to give to you. It's not a big thing, but it's something. Okay? So if you want to maybe even take notes or something, if you can remember some of these things that are going to show up, we'll have just a short time of fun at the end, if that's okay. Can we have fun in a worship service? Okay. Some people would say no. Okay. After 29 years of pastoral ministry in Aroostook County, a little over 9 years in Westfield, a little over 19 years in Hodgson, and 28 years of being on the CEF committee for Northern Maine. So when Betty Hoover was the director, I was on the committee. When Tim and Linda Beachel were the directors, I was on the committee. When Alex came on, I was on the committee. After that time, I followed the Lord's leading in my life to succeed Alex as the Northern Maine director. And that's a long story that I can't get into this morning, but a wonderful story as well. Children's ministry, even as a pastor, was right there at the top of what I enjoyed doing. So it is wonderful to be in this position. That is my wife. I went out to the international headquarters in Warrenton, Missouri to be trained for 3 months. And she was able to come out for a week kind of in the middle of that. We had never been anywhere near apart for that amount of time before. And so what a wonderful thing it was for her to be able to come out. And so we had our picture taken there. But you don't have to leave your vocation or your church to become a partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship, specifically then of Northern Maine. And so there is a CEF plan, if you will, of partnering together. And so CEF helps churches reach children in their community. We help churches do that. We're not out to set our own church. There's no CEF church out there. CEF has the training and the tools to make that happen. I've come here to do some training, and many of you were here on that day. Just ways in which we can sharpen or hone our skills, our gifts that God has given to us, gain some confidence, finding out that, yes, I can do this. Yes, I can be a part in more than just knowing about it and praying about it. Now, that's very important, but I can actually be actively involved as well. And we have the tools. CEF has produced resources and curriculums that help you, no matter what the setting might be, whether it's in an organized CEF ministry, or whether it's in your Sunday school, or your junior church, or your vacation Bible school, or your home, as grandparents even. You know, you can do things at home and have confidence in doing that. And so CEF has materials that can help to do that. The main way in which we do that is through the Good News Club, which we have here in Madawaska, and there are 7 other clubs, and we'll get to that in a moment, that are happening in Aroostook County. Also, there is what we call a 5-day club. Think of Vacation Bible School outside of the church. Vacation Bible School, we usually invite kids to come to the church for the program. 5-day clubs focus on a home, a backyard, a park, a community center, somewhere where kids are in the summertime, and you can gather them together for an hour, hour and a half, in an afternoon, in a morning, in an evening, and you can basically do what we might think of as a vacation Bible school with them, playing games, sharing Bible stories, and most importantly, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And then there are monthly party clubs, is what we kind of, themed clubs. And one of those that we'll get to in a moment, and I'll show you what happened this year, is Christmas. All right, what better time to get kids together and share the good news than at Christmas? Because they're already, whether they realize it or not, it's already on their mind. And so we can tell them the real story of Christmas and introduce to them Jesus. And so there is a plan that we have with CEF. And then we also have a purpose. CEF anywhere in the world has a threefold purpose. Now, they might not use these words in the way I'm using it today, but I've kind of adopted this way, and it's on my newsletter, etc. You know, we just keep going. We don't stop. We just keep going. And so I've taken those et cetera and made a little acrostic. Evangelizing is our first and foremost. I like to say it's our middle name, Child Evangelism Fellowship. We are intentionally sharing the gospel with children. And that's really what it's all about. But it doesn't stop there. We're not just trying to share the gospel with people, with children, and then just, okay, good luck with that. But we want to be able to train them. And that's really what the club ministry is all about. We want to tell them more. We want them to grow in Jesus Christ. We want to train them to follow Jesus, to be a disciple. Boy, if you can train a child to be a disciple, they don't have to wait until they're older to figure that out, what it's all about. And then we want to connect them with a local church. That is the end result. We want to evangelize them first and foremost. We want them to know Jesus because they might not hear it any other time or any other place. If we can, we want to disciple them. We want to train them to follow Jesus. But we also want them to become part of a community of believers, others, so they can be part of a family. Because there's a lot of kids out there that don't have that kind of family, if they have a family at all. And so we want them to be part of that. Again, there's no CEF church being built out there where we win them to Christ, we disciple them, bring them into our church. No, we're working with you to do that. It is a lofty goal that CEF has, but that there be a good news club in every school in America. Now, we're far from that. I kind of counted very roughly 27 elementary schools in Aroostook County. Currently, we have a club in 8 of those elementary schools. That's not bad. That's a better percentage than a lot of other places in America. But that still means there's 19 elementary schools. There's 19 communities where quite possibly nothing Christian or gospel-centered is happening at or in the school. And some people might say, well, you can't be in the school, separation of church and state. Well, actually, in 2001, a case, which was Good News Club versus the Milford School in New York, made its way to the Supreme Court. And it was ruled in favor of Child Evangelism Fellowship that if a school opens their doors for the use of private groups, no matter what that might be, then CEF has to be allowed in that school as well. And most people don't realize that. That's a Supreme Court ruling with our name on it, right? But it goes beyond that because CEF specifically has that. But the understanding is that religious groups, a church could actually be one of those that could go into a school and do that without the backing of CEF if the school opens its doors to allow other private groups to use their facilities, then they cannot bar a religious group on that ground. They cannot do that based on this ruling. And so since this ruling, there has been an explosion of good news clubs in schools across America. Over 6,000 good news clubs are held on a weekly, biweekly, monthly basis in elementary schools across the nation. And I'm so thankful that Madawaska, Maine is one of those places where that is happening. A lofty goal, every school in America, but what's to say it couldn't happen, right? There's nothing blocking it other than where are the people? Where are the churches that want this to happen? But it doesn't happen without many partners in ministry, just like anything else. The project that is going on here, people were named, other people weren't named, but it takes a lot of people. Many hands make light work. Well, that's the same with Child Evangelism Fellowship, with the ministry of evangelizing children. And so CEF wants to develop a partnership. Now, CEF, on our part, what we can provide in this partnership is effective teacher and club training. We can train teenagers and adults to be able to effectively share the gospel, effectively teach a Bible story, effectively run an hour and a half club where we play games, we sing songs, we learn verses, we hear the Bible lessons, we hear a missionary story, whatever it is that you might do. We can provide that. We can provide an effective, proven curriculum. CEF has been producing curriculums for a long time. It used to be centered around the flannel graph board. They no longer produce flannel graph, but what they do now produce, besides the flashcards, that's still the big thing, is the flashcard pictures. They do PowerPoint. Why? Because we're in a new generation, right? This is where generation coming up, that's where they're going. They want to see it on a screen. They want to see it on something because that's where they're seeing everything else. And so CEF is trying to keep up with that. If you're going to reach the children where they are, where are they? And so these things are being developed as well. Proven curriculum. The message hasn't changed. The teaching hasn't changed. It's just the venue in which it is presented. Effective, proven club programs. The Good News Club has been around these 80 years. And, as you saw, legal backing and insurance as well. That's one of the things that we provide. Sometimes churches might not have an insurance coverage that allows them to have activities in other places, but CEF does. If you partner with us, that's one of the things that we have is liability insurance. And we take that very seriously. So we have some very good child protection policies in place and child protection teaching or training in place. You cannot be a CEF volunteer without agreeing to abide by these things. So we have that. Well, what does the church then do? What can you provide? Well, you provide the volunteer workers. The director can't do it all. The director isn't going to do it all. It takes many. And that is probably the biggest thing I have learned and seen that I did not see before, even though I was on the committee and I heard names, I heard about people that helped the director and that ran Good News Clubs or helped in Good, but I didn't see it firsthand until they came to, and I'm blown away by it. Of the literally hundreds, well, maybe not hundreds, but scores, over 100 probably, volunteers that say, I will give my time to reach children with the gospel and whatever, however that looks, whatever part is played in that. So the church provides the manpower and also the finance. These things cost, right? If you're going to run a program, if you're going to run a club, it's going to cost something to run it. Well, if a church gets behind that, I'm not interested in starting a club that doesn't have a church behind it. You know, I could go out and grab a few people that I know and say, let's go do a club in Van Buren, for instance. I could do that, but where am I going to send the kids? Because ultimately we want to get them in a church family, right? Now, that's not saying there aren't churches in Van Buren or close by that we could send them to, but if there is a church or churches, even better yet, like here in Madawaska, behind the club, then we have a network where we can get them into the churches. But it costs to do that. And the church can do that. It can be the outreach to children of the church. And then, of course, if you're really going to get the kids to come back, you got to play some games or have some snacks or have some prizes of some kind. That's just the way kids are, right? All right. Sometimes they'll come back just for the story. Most of the times you have to kind of have other things to kind of draw them. Well, that takes a little bit of money as well. And so these are the things that the church can provide. And here's the great thing, though. The benefit is you get all the contacts. You have the names and the addresses and the contact numbers of these kids. You get to meet the kids in your town and be able to go further than what the Good News Club can do in your own plan and your own purpose in this. Well, now we're going to come into some of those slides that have some of those statistics that I talked about. So the young people, if you really want to pay attention, we've seen a couple that I might bring up, but these next ones. This is CEF in Northern Maine. What I've given you is an overview of CEF no matter where you go in the world. These are the things that are in common with Child Evangelism Fellowship. But here in Northern Maine, what are we doing? And so I want to show you a little bit of what we're doing. First of all, I'll start with the Good News Clubs. There are 8 schools, and they are listed up there, that we have an ongoing club. Now, that doesn't mean they're meeting every week. As a matter of fact, if you see up there, there's only one that meets on a weekly basis. And what club would that be? The Madawaska Club, right? They're the only one that have enough volunteers who are able to come every week without getting too stretched out, without getting too overwhelmed. And that's what we're finding in today's, it's just where we are. It's where the generation of volunteers are. Sometimes every week is a little bit too much and you get overstretched and overtaxed, so it lasts a year or two and then it dies because I can't do it anymore. And so a lot of the clubs now, five of them are biweekly. Every other week they meet. Well, that's a little easier, little less commitment on the part of the person. They're not tied down maybe as much. Hey, twice a month is better than none a month. So we're fine with that. And then there are actually two clubs that meet on a monthly. They only meet once a month. The Eagle Lake Club meets only once a month. And the New Sweden Club meets only once a month. But again, they're meeting once a month, right? So they meet, you know, four, five, six times before Christmas and four, five, six times after Christmas. And these kids come and they hear the gospel. Combine all of those together, and this last year, over 200 kids came at least once to one of these Good News Clubs in these eight schools. Now, they didn't come every week. If you wanted to go average attendance, it's probably something more like 110 to 120 that came on a regular basis. That's still a lot of kids, isn't it? It's only about one out of every, if you're talking 120, that's only about one out of every 100 kids come, because there's something like 14,000 children in Aroostook County that are of that age, of club age. But that's 200 kids that might not hear it otherwise. That's what you look at, all right? Who are we reaching? You know, as a pastor, that was one of the things I learned. You know, boy, you wished everybody was on board 100%. It doesn't happen. So what do? Do you get discouraged? No. You find out, well, who is interested? Who is coming? And you go with it. And let the Lord decide how it's going to play out. I mentioned Christmas Across America. This is a party club. And this particular endeavor is a one-time thing. And what has happened is a very wealthy and generous donor, partner with CEF, pays to have all of this printed so that anyone who will do a club, a Christmas Across America club, in a place where a club is not already going on, will get the material for free. They don't have to pay a penny other than, you know, whatever snacks you might have or prizes you might give out. I have no idea how many millions of dollars that might cost, because thousands of these are going out every Christmas. Well, this last year we had 12 of these party clubs, and you can see where they were listed, where we had those. But to me, what was interesting are the statistics here. Two of them were in homes. Now, that's the way Good News Clubs used to be before you could be in the schools. They had release time. Anyone remember a release time from school? I had no idea why. I heard the term years. I heard it over and over again. Had no clue what it was until someone finally explained. Where for an hour, you left school to go and have this Bible lesson. Now, I think you could have done it. Catholics probably had the same thing, right? But that isn't done so much anymore, but in a lot of places, it's still legal. I mean, it's still an option. It's just one of those things that are kind of hidden way down underneath. We don't do any of those, by the way. But two of them were held in homes, two in community centers. I think those were in Van Buren and Presque Isle. Two were held in churches. That's not the first place we'll look to hold a club, because there are kids that won't come to a church, but they'll come to someone's backyard, or they'll come to a community center or whatever. But that doesn't mean we won't do it there. Well, wherever we can get kids to come, we'll do that. So two were held in churches, and six of them were held in schools. And at least two of them were held in schools that don't have a Good News Club. So, boy, there might be a potential there for a Good News Club to start if we had the church and the volunteers to get involved, right? So 229 kids came to those 12 Christmas Across America. Many of them had never heard anything other than Santa about Christmas. Who is, what? Jesus' birthday? Really? What's all this? What a great, this my one of my favorite things to do is the Christmas party. Wilderness Day Camp, you're quite familiar with Wilderness Day Camp. There are four locations this year that camp is being planned to happen. Down my way in Smyrna, in Mars Hill, Eagle Lake, your Wilderness Day Camp is the longest running one and the one from which everyone else took their cue. Now, they might have modified a lot of things, but this is the longstanding one. And then in Mapleton, it's the State Street in Presque Isle, with some help from some other volunteers, is going to run a camp at Baptist Park, is their location. They average 60, 80 kids each week. So each of those, if you times that by four, 250 to 300 kids will attend a Wilderness Day Camp up here in Aroostook County this year. And that's great because you don't have them just for an hour and a half. You've got them for 5-6 hours. You get to know them a little better. You get to know what their interests are, what their likes are. Maybe you get a little bit to know about what their home life is like. And you can invest and you can pour yourself into these kids. This is a great program. Other summer ministries. You'll see at the bottom there, Wilderness Day Camps is a summer ministry. But fairs. We go in, we draw kids in with face painting. Does anyone do balloon animals? You know, the balloon things? That would draw kids in too. And so that's in the back of my mind, that you know, maybe it could be face painting and balloons, or one year do balloons and the other year do face painting. How many of you face paint? Nobody face paints. I don't either, but I can. It's not as hard as you think. It's not as hard as you think. And kids are very forgiving. You know, you put a mess of color on there and they'll figure out what it looks like, right? So, but what happens is the kids will get their face, but before they can get their face painted, they have to sit through a short presentation of the gospel using the wordless book. When I was in training, I'll tell you this, I don't know, I have no idea where I am with my time, but at the training, we had to learn how to effectively present the wordless book. Everyone know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the wordless book? It's just colors. And so the goal was 12 to 15 minutes, get the whole way through the book with all the verses and all the explanations and everything, leading a child to Christ who wants to make that decision. I never once was less than 22 minutes in my presentation. That's the pastor in me, I guess. Got to make sure it's very clear and all this. There was a young lady, 19, 20 years old, who had been doing this as a teenager. She could do it in 8 minutes. I was like, wow. Last year, by the end of the fair, I was probably under 10 minutes. Now, I obviously had to leave some of my things out, maybe not be as precise on some things as I normally would, but I figured out what I could leave out and what needed to be kept, and so I got it down. That was my fair. I don't face paint, not very good at it. These old hands aren't quite as steady as they once were, especially, but boy, I can love to share the gospel, love to go with a wordless book. So that's my fun thing to do. The five-day clubs I mentioned before as well. Those usually only happen if a church has people willing to do it or if there are summer missionaries that come out of CYIA. Last year we didn't have any summer missionaries. I don't anticipate any this year that will be working up in this area. So the five-day clubs are kind of a hit and miss, although I have two on the horizon this year. And then the Good News Club rally. I was a little bit late. That was not on my radar, being a new person in CEF. And so I was not thinking rally. It did not cross my mind, ooh, I've got to plan and get ready, until someone asked, is there going to be a rally this year? And I go, oh, no. And this is like the end, towards the middle to end of March, and which usually it's already planned and the information is out at that time. So I was a little bit late in organizing and getting it out. And so I think this club in particular wasn't even able to hand out the information. So it relied upon, okay, calls or somehow getting them the information. And so I apologize for that. But we had a good time. Those who came had a good time. We held it in Caribou at the United Baptist Church. We might not do that again. It was a great facility. But again, the whole thing about having it at a church, I got a little bit of feedback. That you know, maybe we need to have it somewhere else if we can. But it was great. They were very gracious, big facility. They were happy to have their facility being used for the gospel. How many of you know Gil Nkamwasiga? Anyone know Gil? He comes from Uganda. That's born and raised. Had an association with Word of Life. I think actually did a little bit of missionary work there in Uganda. Met a girl from Mars Hill, Maine. Right? I don't know the story, but met a girl from Mars Hill, Maine, ended up getting married, and now they have moved back to Mars Hill, Maine. They thought temporarily, but the Lord has changed their lives with two children, one of which has a heart defect, had to have a heart transplant as a less than a one-year-old, right? And so that kind of, they've realized that God has really changed their plans. They're settled. He is the associate pastor at the United Baptist Church in Mars Hill. He is amazing in his presentation. There's so many things just intrinsically about him that you sit up and listen when he speaks. A big, loud voice, funny, just all kinds of things. So we presented Stories from Africa with Gil. And if you missed it this year, it is my hope that for the next 2, 3, or 4 years, we're going to continue to have Stories from Gil for the Good News Club rally, wherever it ends up being held. So that's kind of beside the point. But we end the year with a club rally for all those kids who have come to club at least once. We want them to come and have a fun day. Here is a short video, and hopefully it works, that of the statistics from CEF International for this last year, 2016. That last little breakdown of the 20.4 million children that were reached. And what that means is that someone had a face-to-face encounter with a child, right? It's not just they showed up and they were part of a big crowd, no one really talked to them. No, 20.4 is there was a face-to-face encounter with the gospel. And so what a wonderful thing that is. But 39 children every minute, right, around the world. Wow, that's awesome. I want to give you just a little bit of a challenge in the last few minutes here. If you want to turn to Isaiah chapter 29, one verse. My question would be, how will you serve the Lord? You might not be in child evangelism fellowship, I understand that, but how will you serve the Lord? It will not be simply by going through the motions. That's what I want to talk to you about from this verse this morning. Isaiah 29:13 says, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is nothing but the precept of men." If you would let me, I would like to read this in a little more modern translation. This is from the Today's English Version or the Good News Bible. It says it this way, if you look at it again and just follow along in your Bible and listen to how this translation puts it. The Lord said, "These people claim to worship me, but their words are meaningless, and their hearts are somewhere else. Their religion is nothing but human rules and traditions, which they have simply memorized." Now, put that way, we might usually think of this type of religion or this how this verse is talking about. We might usually think of a Catholic church or a mainline denomination, one of the high churches, or maybe even a cult when we think of whom this verse might be talking about. But I think it speaks to all of us because we all are in danger of slipping into that. And so, can I just kind of break that verse down with you? Only their lips honor me. Only their lips. It's just words. It's easy to say words and have no meaning behind it, have no heart behind it, have no passion, have no intention. They're just words. Someone give me an example of maybe something we might do that kind of fits that. It's just words. Singing. We read the words, but we're not thinking about it. We're not engaging at all. Yeah. What I would call that is words without faith. There's no real acknowledgement of God and faith and trust in God behind it. Can I give you a verse, Hebrews 11:6, that means a lot to me? Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please God." Think about that. It is impossible. No matter what good works you do, if there's no faith that is driving it, if there's no motivation of faith behind it, you know what? It doesn't please God. Those are his words. So in my life, I have determined that faith is right up there. Right? That's the thing that's going to drive me and motivate. James chapter 2, verse 26 says, "As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead, being alone." That just simply means if your faith isn't driving you to do something, isn't changing you into something God wants you to be, then it is not faith at all. It is a dead faith. It is useless. Only their lips honor me, that verse said. Another thing, their heart is far from me. Oh, this is dangerous. This is dangerous, especially for someone who claims to be a believer or is a believer, for their heart to drift far from God. Well, what is this? This is words without love. And God cautions about that as well. In 1 John chapter 3, and verse 18. I want to make sure that I say it right and I don't misquote it. "Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Love as a verb is an action verb, if you remember your grammar from school. It's an action. All right? You cannot truly love without doing something. You know, I can say I love you, but how do you know? Isn't that why God, over and over again in his word, when he talks about his love, what does he do? He describes it. Romans 5:8 is one of my very favorite verses. God demonstrates his love toward us in this way: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to be good and turn over a new leaf and clean up our act. While we were still sinners, down and out, dirty, against God, Christ died for us. When God wants to describe his love, he always does it in this way. Their heart is far from me. It's easy for us to drift there, where our heart isn't in it anymore. Maybe that's where you are today. You once were motivated and active and your heart was in it, but now you just come and you go through the motions. We need a revival. I was just sharing with Vinny. As a pastor, that can happen to us. Whether it's just for a short time or an extended period of time. And as a pastor in Hodgson, I came to the place where I was just kind of floating along. I wouldn't say just going through the motions, but some things it was just kind of, I did it because this is the way it's done, and this, you know, I show up and do it. And the Lord gave me a personal revival. We need that. We need that occasionally in our lives. That's why we need to come to church. So we can be challenged. We can have our faith and our love challenged and put to the test. Their fear of God, it says, is man-made. What happens? Traditions and rules supersede the word. Oh, that can happen. Well, this is the way we've always done it. Right? Or it happens at this time, so we're going to continue to do it this time. Or this is the way we've always done it. Right? That's what CEF tries to be very keen on. We always did flannel graph. Right? It's not a real Bible story unless you put the pictures up on the flannel graph. By the way, if you're a flannel graph person, most of the kids have no idea what that is. You bring that out sometime and they will be mesmerized. Where are these pictures coming from? How are they sticking to the, you know? It'll be novel to them. And you'll be able to capture attention. So I mean, they can be used that way. But we got to be thinking, where are the kids? Where are people today? The same methods aren't necessarily the things that need to be used for each generation. Mark chapter 7 and verse 9. This is not a verse I've memorized, so I'm going to have to turn there. Mark chapter 7 and verse 9. Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees and about the Pharisees, said this. He says, full well, or for real, we might have said that. You reject the commandments of God so that you may keep your own traditions. Ooh. Oh, but he was speaking to the Pharisees. Yeah, he was, but you know what? I can fall into that just as easily. Each one of us here can fall into just going through the motions because it's the way it's been done. We don't test whether it is valid with the Word of God. And then finally, they memorize their worship. It's just we could almost come back to the beginning and say it's just words, but it's memorized. And what this implies to me is the heart and the mind are disengaged. I'm thinking about something else. My heart's somewhere else. I come, I'm physically sitting in church and I'm listening, well, probably not, to the pastor. The words are coming out of my mouth, but where's my mind? Is it at home? Is it what's going on in my life? Is it in my grocery schedule? Is it where I'm going for lunch? Where's my heart? Is it for God? Is it for Jesus Christ? Or is it for me? I feel good by coming and showing up. Can I give you one more verse? Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest of all the commandments? He didn't pick one of the 10. We see him on the back wall here. That wasn't one of the ones he picked. That might have come to our mind if we were asked that question. No, he picked what seemed to me anyway, at the time when I really understood this, an obscure commandment. But when you stop and think about it, is there any other? And the way Jesus explained it, and he says, the second's like it, love your neighbors yourself. He says, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. What does he mean by that? You keep these two commandments, and everything else will fall into place. If you're loving God with all your heart, you won't take his name in vain. If you're loving your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to covet what they have. You're not going to murder them. Right? Simple. We don't have to have a list of 600 commandments. We have just two. And if we keep those, everything else will be just where they're supposed to be. Boy, Jesus hit it right on the nail. your heart and your mind? Are they disengaged? Boy, I hope not. Going through the motions, we're all in danger. Every time every moment of every day, we can slip into that. God doesn't want that. He wants to be part of your life, an active part of your life. He wants you to be in communion with him, not just when you're here in church, but every moment of every day, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. If you want to be involved in ministry, whether it's CEF or ministry of the church, whatever it might be, then we can't just go through the motions. We got to return to where God wants us to be. Can I have a word of prayer, and then can I have that little bit of fun time with the kids? Okay. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for Child Evangelism Fellowship that for 80 years has said, we want to bring the gospel to children. And so many millions of children, 220, have heard the gospel through those 80 years. And how many millions have come to faith because of it? God, we give you the praise. Thank you for moving among people that they might be volunteers and teachers and fair workers and camp workers and make snacks and whatever it might be that they do. Because it takes all of them together, partnership, to be able to get the gospel out in an effective way. Thank you for this church and the testimony it's had here in this community through all these years. And has put out so many faithful workers. We ask that you continue to move among these people. Continue to put out so many faithful workers. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.